524th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. Next, we're brought to you by SGPN subscriber-only March Madness Bankroll Challenge. Free to enter and up to $2,000 in prizes. Enter today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today.
Hi-de-ho, DeGenerinos. Welcome to episode 524 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This one's going out to all our Irish listeners. Everyone, I guess, is Irish today. So this goes out to everyone because a lot of people pretend that they're Irish on St. Patrick's Day. So this goes out to I am technically way back in the history of my family, but mostly Scottish. But anyhow, happy St. Patrick's Day. Thank you for coming to the show. That's probably the only time happy will be said on this episode because it was not a happy, it was not a happy night. Oh, okay. Here's another thing. I was happy. I'm happy that I beat Gumby. We had one different pick and Gumby took a swing on a big
underdog. Did you make up a lot of ground?
I made up huge ground. Yeah. Winning one fight over you. We made up huge ground. So yeah, this was a, I'm Jeff Chalks Fox, by the way. Hi, how are you? This was a card. People in our Discord, which you should get in because sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord, because there's, if you're a sicko like the sickos in the Discord, you will already be talking about Peyton Talbot versus Cameron Simon. You'll be talking about that at least a week in advance, like the sickos in there are right now. People are actually debating who's going to win that fight. People are claiming it's Peyton Talbot fight week, Carl Williams fight week. So yeah, there's some weird people in there. But anyhow, there's also people in there who are like saying, we've heard this before, but people are like gonna quit watching the UFC after this event. But we've had people quit, say they're gonna quit gambling, but not a lot of times they say they're just gonna quit watching the sport. But yeah, it was one of those events, but there was a lot of finishes. That's the thing about it. It wasn't like it was a boring decision fast.
It was still a boring fight.
We had seven submissions. It was just a weird event. We had bad reffing. We had bad judging. We had bad fighting.
Was the reffing worse than the judging? I'm just going to throw that out there. I think the reffing was worse than the judging.
That's Gumby talking, everyone. Everybody say hi. Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He's not getting a big introduction today, so... That's him, the man from the hills. You can also call him. I don't know that there was one glaring judge decision that was incorrect and one glaring ref decision that was incorrect. Everything else was a little less glaring, but yeah, I kind of expect it from the judges, I guess, especially the names that we were hearing on the cards when we had split decisions.
Adelaide Bird, Sally Amato.
Yeah. Little Ron McCarthy. It's all like, I cringe when I hear his name too now. Like, oh no.
Yeah, he's right up there with Sal D'Amato. He deserves all the same credit as Sal D'Amato does as being one of the greats.
Yeah, another one, your favorite, Junichiro, what's his name again?
Junichiro Kimiro.
Sorry, I'm butchering the Japanese name. Yeah, he's one of your favorites too. Yeah, it was a rogues gallery, a rogues gallery of judges last night. I think we got the right winners for every fight except for the one.
One was
the wrong side for us.
Our lock. Our lock of the week was the one they botched.
Isaac Dalgarian, he really didn't deserve to win after the... Like he can complain and stuff.
But he deserved to win. He ran out of gas. You can't blame a guy for running out of gas like that.
That's what I decided this episode is going to be called. It's going to be called Grappling Makes Me Sleepy, because that happened to a bunch of people last night. It wasn't just him. Grappling really tires you out, as Daniel Gumby Vreeland knows. So he should have won the fight, but he kind of gave it away as well. And that ruined the night for us. After that fight, we did not win. And we got a no contest on a fight we were going to win. And then we lost on two fights that we had picked. So that pretty much that derailed the night for us and for a lot of our friends in the Discord as well.
Yeah, I will say this. My favorite part of your introduction there, by the way, was when you were like, it was a fight card.
Did I say that? And, see, that wasn't then, even intentional.
And then you paused for a second and said like a complete non sequitur. Like you were like, it was a fight card.
It was. It's true.
And you're right about that. It was definitely
there's the a title. Fight card. That's better than my title.
It was a fight card. I think, you know, if you're looking at just like the raw data of how we did, like, yeah, it didn't look great. But then like were like, well, you should have won the Dalgarian fight. You should have won the, you know, Brian Battle fight. You were close to winning some other fights. Like, yeah, like it's on paper, it looks not so bad. But like, I think our capping for the most part on this fight card was pretty damn good.
Well, half of the first four fights, we hit two dogs in two of those fights. So like things started off pretty,
including one who missed weight, one who missed weight
and a plus 61. So yeah, it was, I was going to say, we're not just going to complain the whole episode, but maybe we will.
Yeah. Let's complain. Let's start at the top though. Let's complain.
That's what most podcasts are they not? People bitching about one thing or another. So we, of course, are talking about UFC Fight Night, Tuivasa versus Tybura. I raced home from the big city to watch his fight card. Oh boy, I was like, it was last night, UFC Apex, or at least yesterday afternoon. We had three fighters miss weight. Two of them won, which is rare. Usually it would be the other way around. Nathan Levy came in heavy. He got smushed regardless. Chelsea Chandler came in heavy. She got smushed until she got to grapple a bit. And then Danny Silva, he didn't get smushed.
He looked good. He looked good.
Yeah. So those three missed weight. So it was a big night for that. All right. On to the fight card. We start from the top, go to the bottom. So you'll know by now this part of the fight card, we got ruined by bad judging. It jinxed it all. Marcin Tybura and his fancy haircut, a reverse chalks haircut, I call it. He's skin on the side and hair down the middle. I should, if I put my head with his, and I'd have a perfect head of hair. But anyhow, new haircut, didn't absorb elbows too well because he got cut up pretty early in this fight against Tai Tuivasa. And then he remembered, hey, wait a minute, Tai Tuivasa can't wrestle. I'm going to take this man down and I'm going to put him in a choke. And 408 was when it ended. So probably about 3.5 minutes in, I'm going to put him in a choke. And Tai Tuivasa, or maybe even more, 3 minutes in, Tai Tuivasa is going to do nothing to fight it. He's just going to make a face and grimace for about a minute. No, he didn't fight it at all. And then he taps out. Was that good? Good strategy, Gumby? He did nothing with his hands. He just grimaced.
I actually think he did a little bit with his hips, trying to turn the angles and stuff like that. You're right. I don't think it was enough. Ultimately, like that's kind of what we said in the lead up to the fight, right? Is like, I thought he could avoid the grappling enough, but if he couldn't, it was going to be over the opposite way that we planned.
Almost dead. He almost put that elbow to start things off.
Yeah, he looked great. He looked great. And I think no matter what side you came down on here, and we were on the Tuivasa side, we missed this one. But no matter what side you were on, it was either Tuivasa lands all those bombs early on, or he gets taken down and looks like an absolute, you know, idiot. And it was the latter.
Both happened. Both
happened. I guess both happened. Technically, I guess that's true. Both happened. I don't know that there's much to say other than though. Not. Like,
that's the problem with this fight card, Dan. That's the problem with this fight card. There's nothing to say going into it.
I don't know.
And we had a feeling. We actually said this in pre-production a few days ago. There's not going to be much to say in this episode, is there? Regardless of what.
Yeah, it was a terrible fight card with not a lot of stakes, and all the fights you were like, well, either this happens or this happens, but either way, we learn nothing. We learn nothing. Marcin Tybura still kind of can't strike with Tai Tuivasa. Tai Tuivasa still kind of can't grapple with Marcin Tybura, and neither of them are top five or top, and maybe even top 10 heavyweights. So there you go. There's where we're at.
Is Tai, they kind of cut him once before a few years ago, and then he's gone on a run since then. Is he going to stick around? This is three straight losses for him.
Four straight losses.
Excuse me. You're right. And they're all finishes too.
Yeah. And this is the lowest level of them. Is Marcin Tybura? I don't know.
No, it's true.
Like, can you cut him when we're about to watch Muhammad Usman fight next weekend? Like, I don't know. I guess cost wise, you can, right? Like, if you're worried about how much he costs,
I'm sure he makes decent money.
Yeah, but
heavyweight's been around a long time, fan favorite, so he probably makes some not enough money, obviously, but he, in retrospect.
But he's also the type of guy who can headline these fight night cards.
Too, yeah. That's
right? Like, yep. Like if you wheeled him out against a Muhammad Usman for a freaking fight night card in 6 weeks from now, if Muhammad Usman happens to beat Mick Park in this next fight, nobody bet an eyelash. They'd just be like, oh yeah, that's an Apex card. I get that.
He lost three straight and came in here as the favorite. So
yeah. So I don't,
Shitty's, I don't want to cut him. I'm just saying, will he? Will he survive?
Yeah, yeah. I would say if they cut him, it's money based only. Because he's still one of the best 25 to 30 heavyweights in the UFC right now. He's not worth being cut, but he's worth being cut in the terms of how much he makes, probably. So yeah. If they do choose to cut him, it's a monetary choice and nothing else.
Yeah. And Jarzinho Rozenstruik is called out Marcin Tybura. You're excited about that? I bet you are.
Sure.
All right. One thing you should be excited about is, what should I tell you about first? Cut. And then I'll tell you about a couple of exciting contests we have going on. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. I guess technically that's you. Gumby, you're available in 40 states, at least 40 states, right? You could be available
that's
in all.
That's me. I, right I'm, price. I'm a 40 statement.
For 40 statement, that's another, man, so many good titles this episode. And then other episodes, there's nothing for me to use as a title, but anyhow, Gumby, for the right price, he's available in more than 40 states. 50, how many you guys got? 52?
Just that 50, right, man. 52,
50, 50 states, 50, and then 50 two, 50 territory, man. Two territories, right?
Yeah,
Hawaii,
DC,
and
no, Hawaii's a state, man.
Okay,
DC and Puerto Rico.
How many provinces are there, Dan? Go ahead. You want to mock me about the U.S.?
you got eight? Eight?
I think there's more.
Anyhow, you don't even know. You don't even know.
Sorry, Cut. I'm derailing your ad. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users in sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes and tons of fun features, including social features. They give it a feel of social betting network. I'm all over the map here. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. And I'm saying customizable. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase down anyone for money. And the social features are group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards are you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. And there's lots of fun bets on there that our SGPN family are putting up. I can't tell you, I'm in Canada, they don't let me play, but Gumby says he's going to put one up for us. We're going to find some fun one to put up for our show, right, Gumby? US-based,
right.
Gumby.
That's right. I got you coming up soon. Head into the Discord if you want to find more.
It's true. He's not in British Columbia, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, Ontario, Nova Scotia, Quebec, New Brunswick, PEI, 9. And then we got those territories like Nunavut and Yukon and Northwest Territories. There you go. Anyhow, download Cut today. I hope Cut listens to this. They'll be like, what the hell was that? Download Cut today in the App Store or over on Cut.com. That's KUTT.com. And use promo code SGPN for 10% deposit. A bonus. Chalks will be out of work. It will be the Gumby show. Merch Madness is going on, ladies and gentlemen. 15% off everything in the merch store. Promo code MADNESS. You can get like the hat and the shirt I'm wearing. I forgot. I got a Gumby shirt on too. As you, our friends on YouTube will see, I got the Gumby Tuesday Night Miracles shirt. Almost that time of year, Gumby. Half a year to go, right?
We're getting
5 months to go. Yeah. So grab all that stuff. And obviously the other shows have great gear as well. So it's Merch Madness. The promo code is madness, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. And if that's not enough for you, we also have a madness contest for the SGPN subscribers only. The contest is free to enter and only open to subscribers of the SGPN's shows. So hopefully you are a subscriber. Dan likes to yell at you. If you're watching on YouTube, you better be a subscriber by this point after being scolded. For every SGPN show you're subscribed to, you'll get bonus credits to use in the contest. That is cool. It's a bankroll style contest and winner takes all for $1,000 prize or $2,000 if you're subscribed to Sports Gambling Podcast Patreon. So you double your money there. You make money by going on the Patreon. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness. I never read the ads in advance, so all that's a surprise to me too. Sounds good. Subscribe to the show, people. All right, main event, not good. I haven't said that H word.
Co-main event, also bad.
Co-main event, going our way, Brian Battle. Was pretty much piecing up Ange Losa, could handle him on the ground and on the feet, like we said. And then There was an eye poke a minute into the second round. Losa decided he was not going to continue or couldn't continue. He got called a pussy. The fight almost restarted after a battle was lipping off to him, and then it was a no contest. So we were, what, a minute? Now, if it had gone past the halfway mark, would it have gone to the scorecards? Because this
You don't know either. Okay,
we could work the U.S. UFC broadcast team then, because we have no clue.
Yeah, I will say one of the best all-time quotes when Brian Battle gets back to the interview station and they go, what started that interview? And he said, well, I moved to the center of the cage and I told him he was a pussy.
Yeah, that's what started the skirmish.
That's a fantastic answer, by the way. A. And B, like, I'll just say this, like, you know, whether or not he was looking for a way out or not, and you can have your own feelings about that. Feel free to feel any way you want. But Brian Battle looked amazing. Brian Battle looked in a way that I was like, get this guy against some real contenders.
We're already booking them in the Discord. Yeah, everyone's booking them.
If you're in the Discord, shout out to Jong, who said, I'd love to see him against Neil Magny. And then Mac, my guy Mac, said, if he's not ready for Neil Magny, who's, he's like ranked 11th in the welterweight division or something like that. If he's not ready for Neil Magny, give him Carlson Harris, which is a sick fight too. So, yeah, either of those two does it for me. Brian Battle, motivated at 170, seems to be the real deal.
Yeah, I think Harris is, like, he's already been fighting kind of that level of fighters. I know Harris is on a good little roll now, but yeah.
What about if we're not ready for Harris, or we don't think Magny's, or, you know, we do think Magny's too big of a step up? What about like Max Griffin? You know, like somebody of that
would be fun.
Yeah, sure. Like I'd take him against that. I just think Carlson Harris is fun because he's explosive. And you're right. He has kind of like Ench Luce is like diet Carlson Harris.
Store brand Carlson Harris. Yes.
Yeah. He's Kirkland. Carlson Harris.
Yeah. I get the reference. We got that too. We got
Carlson. Oh, you guys got Kirkland?
We do. We
have Kirkland. That's fantastic. But anyway,
I know. Yeah, there's so much that links all of us together. But
yeah. Yeah. So he's Kirkland Carlson Harris. But like, yeah, at the same time. Title. Kirkland Carlson Harris.
that one's taken over.
Yeah.
One's the leader.
but like a step up for Brian Battle, as good as he looked. I'm ready for it.
Can you have either Carlson Harris on your show, on your other show, Top Turtle, and ask him to change his nickname to Kirkland? Or I guess Losa's wouldn't like that if you had him on and said, hey, we think you're a Kirkland Carlson Harris. Can you change your name to that?
I don't think he'd enjoy that. Probably wouldn't go over
well. No. We'd enjoy. Well, I was going to say we did enjoy this fight. We did enjoy the 6 minutes or 5:59 of it, and then until it stopped. I know everyone says fighters look for ways out, but I don't know. Fighters also unrealistically think they're going to come back and win a fight, even when they're getting destroyed.
I'm just going to say this thing. I'm with you. I'm not the type of person who's like he's looking for a way out all the time. But how the hell are you going to try to fight the guy after the bell?
Yeah.
If you can't see. You know what I mean? I can't see the fight. Call the fight. They call the fight. And then you're like, let me at him. That to me is just a little fishy.
Yep. Fishy. All right. What the hell? Do we have to talk about this fight? This one made me... I got super angry. Well, I was already angry about Dalgarian. Like... very angry about that, and then this really added to it. And it also added the announcers talk about what a great fight it was while it was going on.
Like, it was
okay.
So
the last couple minutes, maybe bad. Sloppy. It was, yeah. Of course, we're talking about light heavyweight, so right there is your warning sign that it's danger there. Oh, OSP of Wednesday improved, beat, and he legitimately beat Kennedy and Zachukwu.
Good judges' scorecards.
Was the split decision because it was a close fight, but. One judge didn't give OSP the last round, which I think was kind of silly because he had him rocked in the last round and he outstruck him. But anyhow, 28-28, 28-29, 29-28, and Zachukwu did not deserve to win this fight. He did not deserve us picking him. He did not deserve being a 549 pick. He does not deserve Safe Saud in his corner. He's one of his guys, right?
Yeah,
he's like, the Safe Saud. What the hell was that, Gumby?
It was ugly. It was ugly. I will say,
performance, man.
You couldn't get behind Kennedy and Zuchuku at that number anyway. I think we said that on Thursday. But I'll also say this. Like, I think this is way more damaging to Kennedy than it is to saying OSP has got a second run, right? Like, OSP is not.
He won.
He's not good, though, right? Like,
no, you see him dipping his. He was so tired, he would just put his head down with like,
he was trying to block punches with the crown of his head.
Yes, it's right there, dude. And every time he need him, it would hurt, visibly hurt him, and he wouldn't follow it up with anything.
I'll also add this. I went on Twitter right after that fight was over, and somebody was like, "Fight of the night," and you know, like, it was like one of those posts. And I checked back into our Discord, and everybody was like, "What the hell was that?" And I was like, "Oh,
there you go.
Oh, good.
Our people
understand fighting way more than the Twitter body." Because there was like 32 good seconds of fighting in that fight, and it was only because it looked like Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yeah, and it was still sloppy. Yeah,
it was bad. Yeah. It was bad. Yeah, every single minute of that fight was bad.
Put your foot on the gas and win the fight. Anyhow, easier said than done, I guess. When he might, maybe he was sleepy too. He wasn't sleepy from grappling, like our man Isaac Dalgarian. I don't know if he's still our man. He was sleepy from grappling. Guy. Holy moly, boy, did he come out like a bat out of hell for the first two rounds. He was destroying Christian Rodriguez, like just countering his wrestling, like basically doing what we predicted he would do, being a size bully. Because Rodriguez was, I don't know if he's technically four stop, but he had three misses at bantamweight, weight misses. I'm sure if he wasn't told outright, you better be a featherweight. He got the memo regardless. So, but boy, he's a tough guy, and he gritted this one out. Props to him, but he didn't win this fight. He won one round. He won the last round of the fight. He got 10-8'd in the first round of the fight.
Somehow still won.
27-28, 28-27, 28-27. Someone didn't give Dalgarian what they didn't give Dalgarian the second round, and all of them gave Rodriguez a 10-8 in the third, which I think was incorrect because he was dominating, but he wasn't putting a beating on him like Dalgarian did to him in the first round. But regardless, even a 10-8 in the third round shouldn't have won the fight for him because he shouldn't have won the first two rounds, and you got 10-8 in the one.
Right. I got no problem. If you want to give him the 10-8 to third, it doesn't matter because he should have already been down 3 points. I will say, I'm increasingly annoyed by MMA media who is like, "Oh, well, yeah, he did have 4.5 minutes of ground control, but how much damage did he do?"
Yeah, they've swung way over to the other end, like Michael Bisping and all those people have as well.
But,
yes.
But if he's on top for 4.5 minutes, how much damage could the other guy have done?
He's not getting hit.
That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard, because like, on one hand, you're right. Yeah, like he didn't do much damage. But if that was true in 2 minutes and then he had to stand and trade for 3 minutes and got beat up, sure. Give the other guy the round. Yeah, I'm all about like actually counting damage. But Aaron Bronstetter, who's a guy who I usually sort of respect when it comes to MMA judging, was like, "Oh yeah, you got to give C-Rod the second because Dalgarian didn't land any punches on the ground in the second." And that's true. He didn't land any quote-unquote significant strikes in the second, but he did have 4.5 minutes of top control time, and it was 8-12 on the feet for C-Rod. And if you think that the effective grappling and striking is the same when a guy grapples you up and looks for submissions nonstop for 4.5 minutes and is only 4 strikes behind you, you think that that needs to go to the guy with 12 strikes, you're an idiot. That's the dumbest scorecard I've ever heard.
Boy, harsh.
Yeah, harsh. And I'm going to give harsh words to Aaron Bronstetter because he's usually pretty smart.
Boy, Aaron.
And that's that's a brutal scorecard. If Aaron Bronstetter really truly believes that, that's one of the dumber ones I've heard. So, Dalgarian got that stolen from him. He's still one of my guys because here's the fact of the matter. A, he won the fight. B, despite being exhausted in the third, a lot of guys just quit and just let somebody pound him out there. He didn't. He kept moving. He kept moving a half guard. He kept moving back to top to back to top to back to top until they didn't call the fight. And then he got in on a single.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. He kept going. And you got to give tip of the hat to Rodriguez, too. He did not give up after getting destroyed for 10 minutes.
Yeah, he's legit.
He came out like a bat out of hell in the third round. So I don't know about him at featherweight still, but if he can maybe get his diet fixed and get down to bantamweight, obviously I would like him a lot more, but yeah. Props to him as well, because yeah, he took care of young Raul Hosis as well. So anyhow, pretty good fight all in all. It just didn't end well for us. All right, let's move on, shall we, to something more positive. We'll talk about game time, right? They're more positive. I think I'm gonna have to use game time soon, because the kid wants to go to Neil Young and the tickets are like sold out and they're like $1,000. Come on. So now he thinks Neil Young's like not. I thought Neil Young was supposed to be nice. Why is he charged $1,000 for a ticket? I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Anyhow, he wants to see Weezer. So anyhow, I should use game time, because you can get last minute tickets for the lowest price at game time. Check out the app. Check out all the stuff they have, because Game Time is the place for last minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals. That's what I need, flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And yes, there is MMA. I've been on there shopping for MMA before. The Game Time guarantee means you always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CFBX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Is that all we got in that ad? Block two. All we got is Game Time Gumby. That's all I see. That's all I'm going to tell people about.
I'm would not you... looking at that ad block.
Okay, so
I have no idea.
You did. Your job's over. That's right. You did the opening.
I did the
pre-roll. Would you spend over $1,000 on a concert ticket? No, you would not, I guess, right? No,
I've only
for any event, right?
I've only been to 5 concerts in my life.
Really? Tell the people who you've seen, Gumby. Go.
I saw Yellow Card in Sum 41. I saw Third Eye Blind.
Yep.
I think when I was 9, I saw the Backstreet Boys.
Oh, no way.
Who else did I see? I saw the Wallflowers.
Yep. Bobby Dylan's son, yes.
Yeah. I saw them. They were right in my backyard. And then nice. I saw, I'm missing one. I might have to get back to you on the, Slightly Stupid, which is a reggae band in the.
Okay. I think I've heard of them. There you go. But yeah, you wouldn't spend $1,000 for the Braves, you wouldn't, right? World Series, you didn't have to spend $1,000.
I think I spent $400 for the World Series.
Okay, yeah. Anyhow, Neil Young, what are you thinking? All right. What are we thinking about? Talk about this fight card still. Let's pick it up, Jeff. Women's bantamweights. This one came through for us pretty much the way we expected, the way the first fight went through. Missy Chaisson via submission. Over Penny Kianzad, rear naked choke, 354 into the first round. Size bully comes through as we expected.
I think she continues to be like one of the most intriguing bantamweights in the world. Do you believe that she couldn't beat Raquel Pennington?
No, of course she could.
And that's crazy. That's crazy to think about, because she's been away for a while. But when she's at her absolute best, I think she could beat Raquel Pennington, which means this is a woman we think can be a UFC champion, which is kind of crazy. Cause she's been in ups and downs and looks so good and so bad. And like, but she looked great here. And if this version of her sticks around and keeps working, like the grappling, the strength, I mean the technique, you know, like the way she mixed it up in the clinch. Like I really think there's a high ceiling for Macy Chaisson.
She did lose to Raquel Pennington before though.
I do know that.
Yeah,
but that was like the
featherweight, and she missed weight. Though. Yeah,
and it was the
she was missing weight at featherweight, so she's in great shape now, it appears. So down a weight class too. So yeah she's got to get some wins stacked up. She's gone loss, win over her last four. So that's kind of the problem with.
But she beat the hell out of. She was beating Irina Aldana though. I think we talked about this on Thursday. She took her down. She looked like she was landing better. And then she took that weird up kick and wound up getting TKO'd. And like,
yeah,
we're singing a very different story about Macy Chaisson if that fight goes 15 minutes and she wins the decision.
Yep. Yeah. And I was going to say, there's not much wiggle room in a weight class like this. Like you get to step up immediately. Like she got to step up to Pennington, didn't make it, got to step up to Aldana. Was doing good, but didn't make it. So yeah, if hopefully she can get back in the cage soon. It doesn't look like she took really any damage in this fight. And let's get the ball rolling. Let's get some interesting people at the top of the weight class, shall we? Middleweights opener, got this one right too. Gerald Mearshart took care of Brian Barberina. Face crank technical submission too. Face crank, 423 into the second round. We had GM3 at minus 240. And more importantly, Gumby hit his prop pick. It was only plus 110 when we called it out, but still, you had Mearshart via submission.
Yeah, I can't believe the odds were where they were, because bottom line is Mearshart is one of the best finishers in the middleweight division, and we got Barbarena, who is a glorified welterweight, and certainly has had issues with grappling all along the way, including against Jason Witt. So shots fired on Jason Witt, and
That's right.
Shots fired on our bankroll on this one.
Yes, shots fired on Jason Witt. So that was the exciting main card where we got one fight right, Gumby. We really should have had
one
three
and a
right.
half, two and a half, three and a half.
All right, we got to pick things up here in the prelims, in speed and in winnings. But first, champs. Champs is hosting a free March Madness bracket contest for a chance to win $1,000. Plus, if you host your own March Madness pool on Champs, you get an extra free, here's the key, free entry into the bracket contest. Tiebreakers are determined by who enters first. So make sure to register now so you don't miss out. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs, C-H-A-M-P-S. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs and Hall of Fame bets. Win it bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Entering the parlay ID and the Hall of Fame Bets revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets. Craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. Okay. All right. Oh, and for Underdog Fantasy, did I tell you about Underdog Fantasy already? I did, right? No, I didn't. I miss Underdog Fantasy. I got to tell you about them. Our friends at Underdog Fantasy are here, of course. I knew I hadn't said that yet. And they have the easiest way to play fantasy sports over on their site. Here's what you do. You pick between 2 and 5 players. You build a pick'em entry by picking higher or lower on any various stat totals. They have lots of different stats. And if you want some guidance, Gabby and I do NBA articles for sportsgamblingpodcast.com every day on this. And I see there's hockey ones on there. There's college basketballs on our site, lots of stuff. So we can kind of guide you through it, but it's pretty easy. You pick higher or lower on any stat total that they offer, and they offer a lot. And you can win up to 100 times your money, which is a lot of money. So here's what you do. Sign up today with promo code MMASGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with the promo code MMASGPN. Get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Did I hit them all? Did I miss anyone? Do you have any other?
I think you got it all, man.
Okay. You sure? You don't have any other graphics loaded up there that I missed?
I'm
self-conscious.
I got some real old ones up here.
Yeah, I can do those too.
I could probably remind you of some former sponsors that you...
Grooming and yes.
There's a couple of sports books in here that I don't think we talk about anymore.
No. We do talk about Mike Davis because he looked fantastic. He's
great.
Yeah, ended up the prelims with a win over Nathan Levy. Submission, arm triangle choke, 143 into the second round. You questioned me whether Levy really is a grappling specialist or is that just something he has to fall back on because he can't handle it on the feet. And yeah, he
looks like crap.
He got it fed. I'm like, this. I was thinking, is this guy UFC caliber? And then I'm like, oh yeah, he's 2-1. So he's got like 2 wins in the UFC already. But then if you see who he beat Gennaro Valdez and Mike Breeden. So, eh. But anyhow. Back to the positive. Mike Davis looked really good, like a beast.
Boy. Mike Davis has now won 4 straight in the UFC's lightweight division, which is a sentence that, I mean, it's crazy. And to the point I made on Wednesday's show, he lost Sadiq Youssef in on Contender Series. Like, this is a guy who almost didn't make the UFC. And right now, it seems like maybe we're not ranking him high enough. I'd love to see him against... Dude, he called out Paddy Pimblett. He'd beat the shit out of Paddy Pimblett. I'm not wrong, right? Like, you would pick him over Paddy Pimblett tomorrow.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he made his UFC debut on a week a little more than a week's notice against Gilbert Burns. Oh, wait a minute. That's the bad Burns. That's the good Burns.
Gilbert Burns, not Herbert.
Yeah, so up, I was thinking Herbert. So up a weight class.
And has won every fight since then.
Yeah, a week's notice. And then, yeah, and now he's back in his weight class. The problem with him, just like Macy Chiasson, he hadn't fought since 2022.
October. Yeah, we got to get him active.
Good fight. Chelsea Chandler can't strike for the life of her. She's getting pieced up by Josiane Nunes, who's kind of like a Kirkland Jessica Andrade. I was thinking while I was watching the fight, just not as good, but she's a little tank. And she lost 29-28 across the board. She can't grapple.
Maybe Jessica Andrade is great.
it's true though. She's a little tank, but she can't. She's not as good, obviously, as Jessica Andrade.
Yeah, because she only throws the left hand and not the right.
Yeah, if we put these two, if we put her and Chandler together, it'd be a much better fighter than they are separately. But Chandler can grapple and she's tough. But yeah, she gets hit a lot and doesn't like it.
Yeah, and this is one of those fights where, first of all, I think the judges got this one right. I think Chandler won this fight.
Yeah, it was close, but yeah. I'm not disputing it.
But to me, if you watch the C-Rod fight and the Dalgarian fight and you give it a C-Rod, there's no way you don't give this fight to Josie Nunes. And the consistency is the piece that pisses me off. Because I think Nunes won, and I think Chandler won, and I think Dalgarian won. But if you give it to C-Rod, you gotta give this one to Nunes. But with that being said, yeah, Chelsea Chandler, I don't know how good she is. I don't know what her ceiling is.
No.
She's got to get better at defensive striking. That's the bottom line. Yeah.
Come on. She isn't she the one that trains with the Diazes? She should be slipping and moving.
The Diazes are notorious.
They never get hit.
Strike. Yeah. Those guys don't get punched in the head.
That's right. Defending strikes. You said it's true. Yeah.
They're good boxers.
Yeah, it's true. I should mention, I was shocked to see it on the screen, but it was true. Both these women were ranked are ranked bantamweights at the end of this fight. So, Jafel Filho, boy, I went along with you, Gumby, thinking he wasn't good, but boy, he sure looked good here. And Gumby's going to tell us that Ode Osborne's a wrestler, but boy, he was not a wrestler last night. That's for sure. He got dominated on the ground.
He's not a jiu-jitsu specialist. I said a wrestling.
No, that's true. Rear naked choke for Filho. Maybe Filho is good because he really sunned Ode Osborne. He really, he out-physicaled him, out-grappled him, out-everything. Yeah, good performance.
His jiu-jitsu is legit. And it was like a weird takedown that got him to that position. But I would say that, like, he knows how to get it to the mat. And I underestimated that. So props to him on that. And can't wait to see him again.
There you go. That's how we should recap fights. But people were looking forward to this recap of ours, or this episode. So for some reason, catchweight fight, Danny Silva missed weight, but he used that weight to his advantage by beating Josh Koulibaly. Boy, he almost had him out of there in the first round. Ended up squeaking by with a split decision, luckily for us. 29-28, 28-29, 29-28. Yeah, Silva looked good. I hope he can get the weight thing figured out.
Yeah, same thing. I hope he can get the weight thing figured out. But that's a huge test in his debut fight, mm-hmm. Josh Koulibaly, who's, I said it on Wednesday. I've been high on Koulibaly for a long time. So to pick against him, against a newcomer, I got to have a lot of faith in Danny Silva, and I do. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to him.
Maybe we'll have to take more time in this fight. John was waiting for this. Jacqueline. That's right. I'm saying it like an English speaker. I forgot. She's Brazilian. It's Jacqueline Amarim. We were confused by these odds heading in, and we were confused by the odds heading out. She was even bigger underdog when we got the fight night too. We had her at only like plus
105.
And when I did it like an article the next day or the day after, and she was in the 40s then. Yeah. Then she got even higher, but yeah, she dominated McKenna like we thought she would. She's got 10 inches reach on her because McKenna's a little tiny gal, and then just destroyed her on the ground. Had her almost submitted. The referee actually called her to stop the fight. So she let go and loosened up, and then he went, no, go, 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 which is great refereeing.
Thank God that she's the worst referee I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was horrible. Thank God that he touched Amarin as well to stop the fight. So that's when you let go and you stop the fight, which she did. And yeah, luckily she just transitioned to another submission and another submission that ended up nastily armbarring Corey McKenna. There's levels to this here grappling, and she showed it there. Minute 38 into the first round.
I guess I'm happy that he did do the go thing, because if he just thought that fight there and McKenna claimed she didn't tap, they would have done one of the.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did mention that. I mean, that she was leaking tapped a bunch of times.
Yeah, that would have been a Daniel Lacerda no contest, which would have sucked. And then we would have seen this run back or something like that. So I guess at the end of the day, the judge at least got it, or the ref at least got it right. But I'm going to say this, and John's going to be pretty bummed at me when I say
this. Uh-oh.
I like Jacqueline Amurim. I think she's legit. I think her jiu-jitsu is insane.
There's a butt coming up. There's a butt coming up.
But.
Yeah!
I wanted to see her hit a takedown. I wanted to see the fact that she could get the fight to the ground on herself. And basically what happened is they got in the clinch, and she was like, she climbed up on McKenna, and McKenna was like, okay, why not?
Wasn't very high to go, to be fair. Climb up on her,
but then McKenna was like, okay, why not? And then McKenna immediately found out why not. Yeah. And so, like, I still kind of have to know if Amurim can get there on her own, because I don't know if she can get there on her own, and that is kind of problematic when you're a jiu-jitsu specialist.
Yeah, that is definitely. Yeah. I was going to ask, how is her wrestling? We don't really know, I guess, at this point, do we? At least not at this level. So
not really.
So McKenna, I didn't see it. She did do the old Welsh tap a few times.
She did a Welsh tap. I mean, on the original one, the one the ref stopped, she basically tapped on that. She yelled out. She kind of tapped. And then when it transitioned to a triangle and then back to an armbar, she kind of tapped there again. And then it moved again. And she kind of, I would say, if you go back and you watch, you could probably stop that fight three or four times, and there's no argument either way.
I think it was stopped three or four times, wasn't it?
I mean, at least two. At least two. So, Amurim, you should get your dog of the week, by the way. Jeff Fox's dog of the week.
Oh, yeah, my dog of the week.
Definitely Amurim. Yeah. Prop that up.
Come on.
By the way, her sub prop, did you see what the number was on her sub prop at fight time?
No, I don't think I included that.
Plus 300, man.
Why? What are people?
I don't know. And I wrote about it for SGPN MMA. Good. You go ahead on sportsgamblingpodcast.com and check my picks on there. It was 380 earlier in fight week. And I was like, how do you not bet Jacqueline Amurim by submission?
I guess we weren't missing anything with we kept saying, what are we people in the Discord were saying too, what are we missing with Poppins here, and apparently nothing, because
the answer was nothing. The answer is we had it right and the sharps had it wrong.
Occasionally that happens, so that was nice. So the event started well. That was the first good thing that happened for us, because the Canadian foiled us again in the opener. Bantamweights Chad and Helliger took care of Charles Lampos Gregorio. This was the other man who grappling made him sleepy. He didn't look that good to begin with.
His grappling looked good grappling though.
Yeah, he was. It was a lot of just control and holding, which is fine. But he lost 30-27, 29-28, 29-28. The old Canadian comes through.
Shout out to John, who said that if this is the same Charles Lampros Gregorio who fought Cameron Smotherman, Smotherman would be in the UFC right now.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. All right. So on the night, I went 6-6. I lost almost $200, 196. Gummy went 5-7. So I'm ahead of him. He lost 318. So on the year, I'm at 57%. You're at 56%. Finally. But you've lost less money than I have. We're basing
still
this
ahead.
Off 100.
Still ahead.
Yeah. For the people who are new here, we based off $100 on every fight. So we just, blindly bet that on every fight. So that's not the way any of us gamble in real life. So based on that, Gumby's down 5%. I'm down 9%. You don't make money that way. We have learned over the years, even though I made a good go at it a couple of years ago. I had about 8 or 9 months.
Gave it a whirl in
the money. And then if the wheels fell off, fancy picks, Dulgarian was our lock. We should have won.
He won.
Yeah. His fault too, I gotta say. Osborne, that didn't come through. That did not look good, but not your fault. He's a wrestler, damn it. Amurim came through, and then GM3 via submission. Gumby had that as his prop. I had Tuivasa via KO. That one did not look good, even though it almost did. Dulgarian knockout, Gregorio knockout for the Hungry Man Jong. That obviously didn't happen as well. No fight of the night. Shocking. It was such a great night of fights. I thought OSP was gonna win it with with the man who I'm not going to mention his name anymore now. performance of the night, Marcin Tybura, Macy Chaisson, Jafel Filho, Jacqueline Amarim.
Say how bullshit it is that GM3 didn't get a performance bonus?
Yep. Everyone should get. It should just be finished bonuses, basically.
Dude just tied Anderson Silva for the most subs or the most finishes at middleweight. Yep. How the hell does he not get a sub bonus? I mean, that's wild to me.
They should just do finish bonuses. Like some of the smaller promotions do. They got the money. They're not paying it to the, they pay what, 17% to the fighters or something. I think they can afford to do this and then and make them look good too. Anyhow, that was last night. If you think that people are talking about quitting after last night's fight card. Oh boy. Next week, we got a better main event, at least on paper, but yeah.
I love the odds on this upcoming card though.
Okay. Well, I haven't looked at the odds yet. All right. Let's run through it quickly. It is UFC on ESPN. So this is on the big ESPN. That used to mean something. They used to like pack those fight cards, but those days are over. Hibas versus Nama Yunus. So there, right there. That is good. We got a former champ. We got one of our favorites in Amanda Hibas, a fan favorite. So that's a quality main event, but then it drastically falls off. Like it does. It's not even gradual. I'll let you know. We got Hibas, Nama Yunus. That is at flyweight. That is in her main event. I don't like this Hibas jumping back and forth weight classes, but anyhow, she's not consulting me. Here's the co-main event. Heavyweights. Justin Toffa coming in on short notice against Carl Williams. Edmund Shabazian, AJ Dobson, Peyton Talbot, Cameron Simon, the people's main event right there. Billy Quarantillo, Yusef Salal. That's at least fun, I guess.
Salal getting back in the UFC rules.
Yeah, that should be fun. Fernando Padilla, Luis Paulo. That's the main card. Prelims, Kurt Hollabaugh, Trey Ogden, Ricardo Ramos, Julian Arosa, Miles Johns, Cody Gibson, Jarno Ahrens, Stephen. Say it, Gumby. This is one that we fought over. Win. Gumby won. Gumby won the win. He won the win fight. Stephen Wynn. Montserrat Hendon, not the Montserrat that's on Gumby's Mount Rushmore, the other one. Versus Daria, what is his name? I think I've said it before. Zelaznyakova. I've said her before, right? Was she on Contender Series?
No.
Or
straight higher.
Have I talked to her about her before?
I don't think so, to be honest.
Boy, how do you say the name then?
You nailed it. I'm just
really
say,
yeah, I
I'm
nailed it. You got it. That's what you say to your other co-host too.
Yeah, you got it.
I know I didn't nail it. Good I work. Nailed it. Igor Severino, Andre Lima, Mohamed Usman, Mick Parkin. We're getting delirious from this episode. I think we were delirious from
the Usman, get-go. Baby.
Oh, boy. This fight card, Gumby. Oh, boy. Gumby
I'm
going to
say,
positive
I'm going to say go. This. I'm going to say this. If you look at this fight card and you go through it and you make all your picks without looking at the odds, and I know you tried to do that. I think you will not wind up with less than 5 underdogs.
Oh,
that's my prediction.
That's a positive. There you go.
You will end with who do you think is the favorite in the main event?
Oh, come on. Yeah, Nama Yunus.
Okay, you're right about that. Who do you think is the favorite in the co-main event? Toffa or Carl Williams?
Who knows? Probably Toffa. Oh, no, actually, it should be Toffa, even though it is short notice. It should be Toffa.
Toffa's plus 200, man.
Oh, no way. Carl Williams isn't good, is he? Am I forgetting something here? Oh, this is going to be fun. All right.
I'm telling you, the whole card is like this, man. The whole card's like, wait a second. That guy's a favorite and he's negative 200? That guy shouldn't be a favorite against anybody in the U.S. That was how I felt about the whole card.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, it's good. Hopefully we're smart, as smart as we think we are. All right, there you go. There's a reason for you guys to listen Wednesday and Thursday. It may not be a fun fight card, but it's going to be a profitable fight card with a lot of plus wins. But we're talking about Wednesday already. No, we got an episode tomorrow. Monday is original day. We're doing an LFA. Hey, guess what? We asked the bosses. They obliged. Tuesday, we're doing another special episode. We can't pass on Octagon because Octagon is our little niche thing that people like to watch. So the Czechs love us, Gumby. We're going to go on tour. So we're doing Octagon on Tuesday. So everyone is cheering right now. Their spouses are asking them what's going on, and they will tell them they're doing Octagon on Tuesday, and the spouse will not know what they're talking about. So there you go. In the meantime, Discord is where we are talking about Peyton Talbot and Cameron Simon. It's no lie. That is where we've been talking about that fight for quite a while already. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Discord. Was it good last night for people? I just saw like the end and people were not happy. I assume it was a bad night for everyone.
I think the weird thing is that they hit big fights and big odds. Yeah. So like I think the hit rate was low, but the major hits were big enough that like everybody cracked even. Like, you know, hitting plus 300 on a girl by submission, Amorim by submission, and hitting plus 100 on GM3 by submission, and hitting this one, you know, like it was just like so many big hits. And then of course we're gonna talk about it on Monday. You guys can definitely tune in. Cage Warriors was very nice, and I think some people hit Cage Warriors along with me.
Yeah, lucky you didn't retire like you were told to, Gumby, right?
Yeah. Shout out to the guy who told me to retire, from regional MMA right before I hit a plus 210 underdog in the main event at Cage Warriors.
that's like when I check YouTube in the back end and it shows you comments that haven't been responded to yet, that's always the top one that has been responded to. So I'm always reminded that Gumby should retire because we're not going to respond to that gentleman. So anyhow, that will be Monday, Tuesday. Discord, told you about that. Gumby's got Top Turtle MMA podcast. Make sure you listen to that. He's got good guests on it. We'll tell you about that tomorrow. Maybe we'll tell you about that tomorrow. This has been long enough. I got my moneymma.substack.com. Get in there, subscribe, enter my free UFC weekly pick'em contest. YouTube, please make sure you smash that subscribe button. And thanks for watching us there. SportsGamblingPodcast.com, SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Patreon, SportsGamblingPodcast.com/store. Remember, Madness is your code there. And that's all we got. We'll be back tomorrow. Midwest Choppa, Jeff Fox, Bonsai, Gumby Vreeland. We'll talk to you then. Bye.